Hi, welcome to the Japan Travel Podcast. Japan Travel Podcast, hey, yokoso. And best wishes for spring north or autumn south. I'm your host, Sébastien Duval, in Tokyo on the 7th of April 2022. And this episode 2 is dedicated to community voices about spring. We'll hear messages from listeners about Sakura and spring in reaction to episode 1. And I'll answer diverse questions such as, what is Hanami, indirectly, by just commenting. From minute 10, I'll provide context about nature, life, work, travel during spring. And from minute 17, I'll directly answer 4 frequent questions about the pandemic, domestic and international travel. Finally, partner Alena Eckelman will take the time to properly introduce herself. Cherry blossoms already floated away near my home in Tokyo, with rain enabling me to enjoy a pink river a few days ago. Before we start, I'd like to thank listeners for their encouraging messages. For example, on LinkedIn, Jesse Marco, tourism student in France, wrote, "What an amazing idea! I really enjoyed this first episode and I'm looking forward to the next one." Peter Warren, English language coach for travel and tourism industry in the UK, wrote, "Great podcast! Thanks for sharing with us." Gizem Sakamaki, owner of Foodie Adventure Japan in Tokyo, wrote, "That's amazing! Congrats on your podcast launch." And Ali Chaloner-Jones, plant-based chef in France, wrote, "Looking forward to this and especially about hearing of vegan experiences while traveling." Nice! Let me immediately extend the discussion about wagashi confection started in episode 1. In addition to the shape of sakura, you can enjoy during spring vegan wagashi looking like yomogi, Japanese mugwort, or uguisu bird, Japanese bush warbler that sings beautifully from the start of spring. Following episode 1 about sakura cherry blossoms, several listeners sent me complimentary information and travel tips. From the UK, but living in Kanagawa Prefecture, Peter Siddell compliments Jessica's speech by recommending the Shinto shrine Tsurugaoka Hachimangu in Kamakura City, but also Odawara Castle Park with its lanterns illuminating the cherry blossoms around the castle until April 10th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And finally, Ookagawa, in English, Ooka River, which is lined up with sakura trees for much of its length. Odawara Castle is very nice and has a great view from inside if you go on daytime first. Born and living in Japan, Shunichi Koyama recommends little-known spots such as Eboshiyama Park at walking distance of Akayu Hot Spring. It features 1,000 cherry trees of 25 types and is lit up at night every year. If you liked Malcolm's recommendation for the Tohoku region, make sure to add this spot to your regional list. For listeners who got excited by Alena's introduction of Yoshino, the American in Japan, Brian Bayer, would have recommended Yumoto Honoya, which he really enjoyed, but this 90-year-old traditional inn with hot spring went bankrupt due to the pandemic. The Yomiuri newspapers even ran an article about that. Like many of our guests and listeners, Brian hopes that this podcast will help many nice Japanese businesses to quickly recover when the borders reopen, and ideally even before that by motivating foreign residents to travel to selected places in the coming weeks and months. To avoid staying on a negative touch, Brian recommends you 2 spots he really loved during cherry blossoms, although they were in completely different areas. 1. Murakami Castle Ruins in Niigata Prefecture, and 2. Takato Castle Ruins Park in Nagano Prefecture. He said the latter was the best sakura under heaven, and he introduced both on the website japantravel.com with very nice photos. Finally, I'd like to end with 2 related travel tips. First, by the Portuguese André Moreira.
"I have spent spring in Japan for the last 10 years, and I guess what I enjoyed the most was watching the cherry blossoms here and there. There are a lot of spots to enjoy in the city, but spending 1 hour or 2 on the train to get to a more calm and peaceful region is also a great idea. Maybe best with a night or 2 at a local hotel to have a relaxing experience."
And second, by Sherilyn Xi, from Hong Kong, but living in Saitama Prefecture, who said, "There are so many sakura trees scattered around, you do not need to go to the most popular spots. Sometimes the best spot is one that you discover yourself with no one else around. You make that spot special and meaningful. Personally, I just add that you can easily do that on foot or by bicycle in Japan. Thanks for your advice, Peter, Shunichi, Brian, Andre, and Sherilyn. Listeners have also sent us thoughts about spring in general. Suwani Payne from Thailand said, I went to Japan on many trips in March, April, May, and June, and I plan to visit Japan in spring again, but this time I would like to tour the country by bike. It's on my long-time wish list. It would take me off the beaten path to see many lovely sakuras and flowers. That's quite an exciting plan, though she will need weeks and very strong legs. I'd be more likely to do that with an electric car, though I'd not recommend it to people who are jet-lagged or tired, as you need to drive on the left side and will see most signs in Japanese. Travelers from Hong Kong would be at ease, but probably not those from my country, France for example, at least for a first trip to Japan. Our partner Charlie from Hong Kong said, I visited Tokyo 4 times but never in spring. If I go again, during that season, I'll make sure to check out the falling sakura at Ueno Park and Yoyogi Park. Staying in town, I'd wander into old neighborhoods around Shinjuku and discover restaurants and gourmet dishes only known to the locals. With warm weather, I'd also go to the countryside and do some hiking, for example at Mount Jimba or Mount Kawanori. A relaxing day trip to Hakone to immerse myself in a local onsen does not sound bad either. Charlie obviously gave it some thought. I had to check on a map to find Mount Jimba, which is at the border of Tokyo Metropolis and Kanagawa Prefecture, and to find Mount Kawanori, which is in Tokyo, in Okutama area. Vicky Amin, the Indonesian author of the book Cheating Central Japan, wrote, I've never been to Japan during spring, so my goal would be to see the cherry blossoms with my own eyes. Just walking under sakura trees would be enough for me, but the best scenario would be to also do a hanami picnic with friends, drinking, eating bentos, and more. I don't mind the crowds because they are part of the atmosphere I'd like to experience, but I'd also love to go off the beaten path to find small parks where I could just enjoy the blossoms in peace. Vicky talks about the Japanese tradition of hanami, which is written with 2 characters, hana, meaning flower, and mi, meaning viewing. It's about enjoying the short-lived beauty of flowers, and it's typically associated to picnics in parks during daytime or evenings with your family or friends when cherry trees are blooming. People would eat bento lunchboxes bought at a convenience store on the way, or some food from food trucks on site, which is particularly convenient for wheelchair travelers. From Vietnam, Quynh Nga Nguyen said, If I have a chance to travel to Japan in spring, I will visit famous temples and collect as many stamps as possible for my Goshuin book for a lucky and favorable new year. I will also admire the beauty of cherry blossoms in a traditional kimono at Meguro River, and of course, I will capture many beautiful moments. Spring is when ingredients are freshest, allowing me to also enjoy all my favorite Japanese specialties with completely new flavors. We talked about Meguro River in episode 1, but did not talk at all about kimonos there. So, let me clarify, tourists can rent or buy a kimono, and it definitely gives a very sweet feeling to the experience. Regarding Goshuin, these are seals that visitors can get at Shinto shrines and Buddhist temples in Japan. They make good memories, and many foreigners enjoy seeing the priests or monks write the name of the holy site with a brush in front of them. Finally, Quynh is right that Japanese spring is well known for the quality and taste of diverse foods, notably the category San Sai. San is written with a character meaning mountain, and Sai with a character meaning vegetable. So the meaning is straightforward, mountain vegetables. For example, Takenoko bamboo shoots, Nanohana young shoots of rapeseed, and Fukinoto butterbur sprout. Now, it's easy to imagine that spring is the best season for vegans to come visit Japan. If you're a seafood lover, however, maybe you'll enjoy instead sakura ebi shrimps, Thai red sea bream on sushi or not, and hamaguri clams. On the professional side, several guides recommended staying at a local hotel to walk around in the morning before big crowds arrive. Of course, you may also enjoy blossoms on evenings near your hotel thanks to the street lamps. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and travel ideas, Suvani, Charlie, Vicky, and Quinn. To give some context to these thoughts shared by listeners, let me tell you more about spring in Japan. March 20th or 21st, the first day of spring, is a national public holiday, so many people normally enjoy it with their loved ones in shopping centers, parks, forests, or mountains. The beginning of spring also marks the change of academic year and of fiscal year, fixed to April 1st for convenience. And many Japanese or foreign residents start their new job at that moment. This has an impact on flights, with Japanese expats finishing their contract and thus returning to Japan in March, and with the new ones being dispatched abroad leaving Japan in April. This is combined to new foreign workers coming to work in Japan in February or March, and previous ones returning to their country in April or May. Japanese students typically graduate in March and start working at a company on April 1st, having secured their job many months in advance. Looking at the travel industry, for example, and as a sign of good expectations for the reopening of the borders, the main Japanese airline, JAL, announced that it will be restarting its hiring process with new graduates joining in April 2023. This being said, the calendar does not tell you the whole story. Japanese people can tell you that the real beginning of spring is not the calendar date, but a day marked by Haru Ichiban. Haru meaning spring, and Ichiban meaning first. The Japan Meteorological Agency defines it as the first strong warm wind from the south between the first day of spring according to the lunar calendar and the first day of spring according to the usual calendar. So it can be in February or March. Haru Ichiban also marks the start of pollen allergy season, so many Japanese people would start wearing masks at that moment if we were not currently in a pandemic, because everybody is already wearing masks. Importantly, warm and cold alternate from that point. Weather changes very quickly and tourists should be wearing flexible clothes, ideally with a foldable umbrella in their bag. Leaving aside the changing weather at the beginning of spring, this season is great for weddings. Travelers may see a bride and a groom in traditional clothes walking around a Shinto shrine. This notably happened to me at the famous Meiji Shrine in Tokyo, so going there is a really good idea, even for wheelchair travelers who can now move more easily than before in this place thanks to efforts for the 100th anniversary of Meiji Shrine in 2020 and for the preparation of the Olympic Games which took place in 2021. However, the best spot I know in Japan to see weddings during spring is Tsurugaoka Hachimangu that Peter recommended. Why? Because it includes a square building with columns and a roof, but no walls on the path leading to the main building, so you can see weddings and you can hear weddings, including the traditional music. I remember watching a few minutes during at least two visits in this area, and I'm sure you'd find that interesting. For those of you who have never seen a photo of Japanese traditional wedding, just imagine a standard kimono without armor for the groom, and a big kimono with a big white hat for the bride. If you wonder why the hat is so big, the answer is very simple and in a way quite funny. It's there to hide the horns of jealousy of Japanese women. Leaving aside people and thinking a bit more about nature, maybe you remember that Bonson and Malcolm said in episode 1 that the Tohoku region and the northern Hokkaido region get warm pretty late. Consequently, the beginning of spring there lets you enjoy flowers that Tokyo residents would normally associate to winter. These include beautiful, perfumed white and red plums, and also pink peach blossoms. Personally, I prefer plum and peach flowers because they smell so good, whereas cherry blossoms basically are beautiful but have no smell. We would probably need many episodes to talk about flowers and activities in Japan during spring. So, today, let me just say a few things. First, I recommend checking out the website of the Ministry of the Environment for information about national parks, as well as the websites of cities and prefectures that you already plan to visit. Second, I'd like to list spots that are very impressive in April and May, For example, Nezu Shrine in Tokyo Metropolis for its Bunkyo Azalea Festival, and note that its Azalea Garden is 300 years old. Also, Ashikaga Flower Park in Tochigi Prefecture for Purple Wisteria, Hitsujiyama Park in Saitama Prefecture for pink and blue carpets of Shibazakura moss phlox, and you can see 400,000 stems there. Hitachi Seaside Park in Ibaraki Prefecture for a blue carpet of Nemophila, and that's 5 million flowers. And Yuushien Garden in Shimane Prefecture to enjoy peonies. Third, and especially if you plan a photography tour, Children's Day on May 5th can be great with koi no bori, carp-shaped windsocks floating with the wind all over Japan. Now moving from flowers to landscapes, our Vietnamese listener Quinn indicated that spring skiing is an exciting plan for people from her country because there is no snow in Vietnam. Additional bonuses for everybody, spring has fewer crowds and features much better weather, so skiing can be a much better experience. A few destinations worth checking would be Niseko in Hokkaido, Hakoda in Aomori, Hakuba in Nagano, and Myoko in Niigata. I'm with Nathan Eden, owner of a ski lodge and gyoza bar with vegan options in Myoko called Myoko House. Listen to what he has to say about snow there nowadays.
Myoko typically averages about 15 meters of snow over the course of one season, which we surpassed, I think, in the first week of February. So needless to say, been quite a good year for snow. There's been plenty about for everyone. Lotte Rai Resort, our closest resort to Myoko House just up the road around the corner, Akakurakanko Resort, and also Seki Onsen are the resorts within the Myoko area we plan to stay open through to Golden Week. Plenty of snow around, some resorts still in excess of a 4 meter base. Things are looking good for some spring skiing right up into the early weeks of May.
Thanks, Nathan. Of course, my best advice is for you to come live in Japan so you can enjoy everything over weeks, months, and years. Today is Community Voices Day, so let me answer three questions I often get. How is COVID-19 in Japan? How is domestic travel? And how is international travel to Japan? Plus, a recent bonus question. Anything else travelers should know? First question. How is COVID-19 in Japan? Japan remains affected by COVID, and Omicron led to a peak of 104,000 infections in early February. But we are now below 50,000 new daily cases, with an average of 7,000 in Tokyo and 3,000 in Osaka. Since the beginning of the pandemic, Japan recorded 28,000 related deaths for 126 million inhabitants, much less than the USA, which is close to 1 million deaths for 329 million inhabitants. Residents in Japan are well vaccinated. 80% got their two shots, and 43 also got a booster, with that number increasing every day. Japan is now free of the quasi-state of emergency that covered 18 prefectures until the first day of spring. This being said, Kyoto, Osaka, and Hyogo prefectures still restrict the size of groups in restaurants to 4 persons and the duration of meals to 2 hours. All over Japan, the population has been asked to remain careful during goodbye and welcome parties, as well as Hanami flower viewing parties. Finally, the government will provide free COVID tests to asymptomatic residents until the end of June. Question 2. How is domestic travel? Domestic travel has resumed, and a major Japanese airline announced it was back to 60% of the number of passengers it had in 2019 for the beginning of spring. Of course, residents made reservations to enjoy the cherry blossoms, but many are also taking advantage of Kenminbiki, discounts only available to residents of a destination's prefecture. Promoting local tourism is a good start, and these discounts avoid criticism about the promotion of long-distance travel that many people associated to a faster spread of COVID in 2020 and 2021. Having refrained from traveling for 2 years, some residents do longer or more luxurious stays, combining money they saved to various discounts. Also, some parents take their kids on trips they would not have normally been able to afford. Spring 2022 will provide important data about the safety of travel in Japan, and good results may hasten the reopening of the borders to international travelers. Question 3. How is international travel to Japan? Japanese citizens and foreign residents can cross the border. Since March, foreign workers and students holding a visa can also come live in Japan, and more than 400,000 of them have been waiting for months or years and should be processed before new visas are issued to other students and workers. The maximum number of daily arrivals has been increased, the quarantine requirement has been reduced to only 3 days, and additional improvements are being considered. The borders are closed to tourists and two forces currently go in opposite directions. On one hand, economic leaders are asking for a reopening to help companies find needed staff, both in low-end jobs such as harvesting and in high-end jobs such as software development, but also to get money from international travelers to ensure that struggling businesses related to hospitality do not disappear. On the other hand, political commenters highlighted that the Prime Minister may avoid reopening the borders before parliamentary elections that will take place in July to avoid alienating Japanese voters who feel safer with tight borders. Planning a trip to Japan during autumn 2022 seems reasonable, but make sure that your travel agent or booking platform lets you change the date later if borders remain closed for some reason. Travel agent Luca De Pasquale can tell us a bit more about the situation. He and his colleagues at Japan Travel KK serve travelers in English, Italian, Spanish, French and German, so his view is based on diverse markets. Luca?
At our travel agency, we are taking bookings already for 2022 and 2023. We are proposing a flexible schedule for the customers, and they seem to be very keen to travel to Japan. In fact, we have seen already from January a steady increase in the requests, and some of them are already willing to come from May or June. Of course, we are letting them know about the border situation. People really don't mind to have their trip moved if the situation does not improve by the term they are willing to travel. And we are hoping to see a reopening in the late summer.
Thanks, Luca. Bonus question. Anything else travelers should know? I'd like to say a few words about flight routes, exchange rate, and airport to hotel transportation. Due to the war between Russia and Ukraine, international flight routes have been changed. For example, travelers flying with JAL from London to Tokyo go over America instead of Russia, which increases transportation by 4 hours. This is particularly important if your holidays are short or if you travel with small children. For many reasons, Japan's money, the yen, is significantly weakening against the euro and American dollar. Consequently, future international travelers can make particularly cheap reservations nowadays and in the near future. If the exchange rate remains advantageous over months, you may also be able to make cheap purchases of souvenirs, clothes, artwork, etc. when the borders reopen. Travel agents, guides, owners of hotels and restaurants would certainly benefit from a weak yen, which leads to more visitors, all spending more individually. When only residents were allowed to cross the border and still had to do a long quarantine, public transportation was forbidden after landing. Japan Travel KK created a service called Safe Ride to transport travelers from the airport to their home or hotel. It is still available and wheelchair users will appreciate to know that the service is available to them too, from and to all the airports listed on the website: Narita, Haneda, Kansai and Chubu Central. Hopefully, this service will not be a necessity anymore when the borders reopen. The reviews are quite good, including a comment: good and friendly driver with a nice and clean car. He even helped me find the exact apartment number. To see for yourself, type in your favorite search engine: airport, transfer, Japan, travel, safe ride. Safe ride is in one word: S-A-F-E-R-I-D-E. To end this episode with a special community voice, let's listen to Alena, who introduced Yoshino Cherry Blossoms well in episode 1, but had only said a few words about herself in episode 0. Alena, you're on!
Hello and guten Tag from Fushiogami, a small village in the south of Wakayama on the Kii Peninsula of Japan. My name is Alena Eckelmann, originally from Germany, actually from East Germany. But I have been in Japan since 2005. I first lived in Tokyo, but moved to Kumano in July 2011. And the 3/11 disaster plays a part in this move. I vividly remember the events on 3/11. In the morning, I visited the office in Roppongi of Metropolis Free Paper with a photographer friend to pitch my articles. After the meeting, we wanted to take the subway when the ground started shaking and the highway began to sway. I had to walk back to my home in northern Shinjuku ward, which took me until late in the evening. While walking, I followed the shocking news. I did not quite realize the full extent then of what had just happened in Tohoku. In the following months, I contributed money and support materials. Around Christmas, I participated in Christmas for Tohoku, an action initiated by some of my foreign friends to give presents to people in the temporary shelters. I donated the bicycle. Many foreigners left Japan at the time out of fear of radiation, but I stayed. Yet, I decided to move away from Kanto and make my dream come true, to live in rural Kumano. Around this time, Terry Lloyd's email reached people on his mailing list with the proposal to participate in a new project, to set up a travel platform from scratch to support tourism to Japan. I became the Wakayama partner to contribute unique content, and in return, I hoped for some income to support my move to this remote region of Japan, where employment is sparse. I wish this podcast will bring fresh wind, a positive energy that will allow Japan Travel's regional partners, together with staff in Tokyo, to continue pursuing the founding vision of serving tourists when we will start returning to Japan. Before it was meant to be the second half of 2011, now it is the autumn 2022, hopefully. I have many favorite sense experiences typical for Japan. Not just sounds, but also smells, sights, textures, and tastes. If I have to single out one sound, then it is the prayer service of monks chanting at a temple, accompanied by daiko drumming, the rattling of a shakusho, and blowing the hola conch shell. I highly recommend visiting the Kii Peninsula in the Kansai area of Japan, my home now, to experience just that. The spiritual centers of Yoshinoyama, Koyasan and Kumano, and the pilgrimage trails connecting them, invite on a pilgrimage to the heart while discovering the soul of Japan. Pray for the full recovery of the regions affected by the 3/11 disaster, and for the welfare of those people there who still hope for and count on our support. Let's not forget, but help them.
Thanks, Elena. I feel we know you much more now. As this is a podcast, I hope we can share the sounds of prayer chants and instruments from your region with our listeners at some point. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe now to be notified about future episodes, and please leave reviews on your favorite platform. Episode 3 will be a report about Japan Tourism Showcase in Osaka, which I attended a few days ago, as well as timely news, job and internship opportunities in Japan. In the meantime, you can let us know your thoughts at podcast@japantravel.com. Thank you for listening, thanks for helping, and sweet dreams of Japan!